Larry, let's start with the current phase of the conflict in the Middle East. It seems that Iran by tomorrow morning is going to attack Israel.
And very well could. That's what we're getting all the indicators that everybody expects something to happen. They've cr closed the airspace, closed flights out of Israel. Airspace is closed, as I understand it, flights in and out of Beirut. Other countries around the world have canceled flights going in and out of Israel and Lebanon, as well as some canceling going in and out of Iran. The Ukraine has ordered all of its diplomats and person and citizens out of Israel and out of Lebanon. So then they're not the only ones. Travel advisors are up. State Department's issued warnings. The U United States sent at least, it looks like, one element of a Marine expeditionary unit of what they call a MEU. It also could be called the MEF, Marine Expeditionary Force. Their role is to do what's called a non-combatant emergency evacuation or emergency operation, but it's to evacuate people. Since the airports are shut down, people have no way to get out. This way they can be ferried out to ships and then taken away. All this seems to indicate that Bibi Netanyahu, during his last trip to Washington now 2 weeks ago, fully coordinated this with the Biden administration. There, because you don't get these Navy ships, it's not like ordering a pizza where you can sit there and say, hey, I'd like a pepperoni mushroom. And you call them up and they'll be at your house in 30 minutes. These ships have to be prepped and the personnel recalled to the ships. And so it takes, and they have to be properly stockpiled with necessary food and ammunition, et cetera. So this clearly was in the works beforehand. I think I tend to believe that Israel fully briefed the Biden administration on his plans to kill Haniyeh. So this is, it's heating up. This is, this is going to get out of control, I fear.
It means that the Biden administration knew that they're going to assassinate.
I find that I think so. Because otherwise these ships were already, it's not like the ships had been scheduled, weeks in advance. They just happened, they're going there, and their part of their announced mission was to be prepared to conduct a NEO, the non-combatant emergency operation, the evacuation. Just a coincidence? Again, I don't believe in coincidence. So, and plus, that same day that they carried out the operation, the foreign minister Katz very boldly in public said, oh, we had the approval. We got the green light from the Americans and the Brits. So, they clearly had talked about this in advance.
How about this latest news that Joe Biden just warning Netanyahu that this time gonna be the last time that we're gonna defend you against Iran, and we're gonna protect you if you decide to escalate. We're not gonna be there to help you. Is that false?
Yeah, that's a lie. I'm sure he said it. Didn't mean it. The United States is it's the best money Israel can buy. This government's bought and paid for. So they're not going to back out on Israel at this point. Particularly with this, the prospects of the war broadening. We've seen, so for example, one of the pieces of news is that the U.S. aircraft carrier, the Theodore Roosevelt, was sailing around in the Persian Gulf. It sailed out. Okay, so it got outside the Strait of Hormuz. It's out in the Arabian Sea, which means, that again, they're positioning aircraft, they're positioning ships for possible action against Iran. and or an anticipation that Iran's going to launch another missile barrage like it did in April. Only this time, they're not going to pull punches. They're going to actually go for and destroy Israeli bases and try to kill Israeli soldiers. I don't think Iran's going to target civilian areas, but I could be wrong.
In your opinion, the Biden administration is that weak that they couldn't convince Netanyahu not to do that, or
Yes.
they were willing to help them?
Now, all of the above. They're that weak and they're willing to help them. It's astonishing. That's what makes this era that we're in so dangerous. We're in an era, I know that politicians have lied throughout history, but the level of lies and self-deception coming out of Washington is just staggering. And you really don't see an adult in the room. I mean, you've interviewed like Chaz Freeman before. Chaz, in my mind, is a reminder of what it used to be like, a state. I mean, you had people with the stature of Chaz Freeman, Larry Eagleburger. I mean, Jim Baker, for all of his flaws, he was really a gifted statesman. And people with measured judgment that were not going to necessarily fly off the handle. Brent Scowcroft was another. And we had, there were some women that were not well known. Mary Ryan was one in particular. She was headed up consular affairs. We don't have that now. My God, we've got, I'd call them midgets, but that would be an insult to little people. These people are so small in intellectual stature and so bereft of experience that they're leading not only America but the world into very dangerous waters. And this thing should have been de-escalated a long time ago, but the wanton killing, we're what Israel is engaged with, and people may have bristled at me using that analogy, comparing them to the Nazis in World War II. But I, frankly, the way the Nazis treated the Jews in World War II is akin to what the Zionists, I don't want to lump all Jews into that category, but these Zionists are just as bad, if not worse. One of these characters the other day was calling, he was saying, "Hey, if we rape them, what difference does it make? It's okay to rape them, rape the women, rape the men." I'm thinking, you're actually saying that? And he believes it. That's the problem here, that these are evil, evil people. And that evil's got to be destroyed. I mean, you can't have somebody walking around saying that they have the right to sexually defile another human being. Nothing justifies that. They've got to be stopped. And unfortunately, that leads into this, dead end where violence becomes the answer. It'd be one thing if the violence was just killing those that deserved it. But it doesn't always happen. It's a lot of times it's the innocent, the children, those who aren't directly involved that end up paying the heaviest price.
Their latest attack on Israel by Iranians, they were, before attacking, they were telling them, they were talking with the Americans that they're gonna attack Israel. Right now, they're gonna attack. They don't know when they're gonna attack and what would be the scale of this attack. What we can say about the scale of this attack, how big that would be?
I think it'll be at least 1.5 times larger than the attack they launched in April. And it's going to be aided this time by, I think, a coordinated attack with Hezbollah. Now, Israel is going to try to preempt it, and the United States and Brits are going to try to do their best to preempt it. But Once Iran fires ballistic missiles, it'll be very difficult for Israel to stop those.
Larry, how about right now in Israel? Do we know what's going on in Israel? What the Netanyahu administration, what they're thinking of right now, what they're talking about?
There is, we're seeing great division in Israel right now. Some say that Netanyahu shored up his political support at home by his trip to Washington. That may be true. But while that was going on, we saw forces connected to the Israeli military entered a prison to detain nine prison guards under the allegations that they had sexually assaulted men and women. Then these settlers, these people who claim that they're there because God gave them the land, and then they act like the most godless people in the world, attacked the military. If that was Hamas attacking, it'd be terrorism. But since it's these people doing it, oh, it's okay. To try to prevent them from taking those men into custody, which they ultimately end up doing. So you've got that split. There is a visible split between the military saying that they can't defeat Hamas and Netanyahu and his crowd vowing that they will defeat Hamas. Then you've got the economic situation, which is, it's not getting a lot of coverage, but Israel's got to be facing negative growth just from the virtue of the fall off in tourism dollars, significant fall off. And the fact that you have so many reservists that have been called up into active duty in the Israeli army that are no longer able to show up to work, go to business. And there are also a number of Palestinians that were employed in these businesses and factories that they're not showing up to work. So the work's not getting done. So, when you put it all together, it's not a pretty picture in Israel right now.
They were attacking Iraq, Lebanon, Yemen, Iran, and right now, if they start all together, is that can we expect something like that, or is not possible?
No, it's very possible. It depends to see what the other how the other countries respond. The Turkey, as we discussed the other day, talks, big talk. Oh, we're going to do what we did in Nagorno-Karabakh. Yeah, I'm going to hold my breath on that one, Erdogan. But if Turkey does actually decide to act, they've got the size of military and they've got the force and experience that they can create a credible threat to Israel that Israel can't ignore. And if that supplements Hezbollah, Israel will be in big trouble.
Yeah, it seems Medvedev was talking about the conflict in the Middle East. He said that a big war can solve the situation right now in the Middle East. And it seems that Israel is going to attack each and every country in that region until it receives a rigid message from the United States not to do that. Don't go that way.
Yeah, it used to be that way, but not anymore. Nobody in the Biden administration has been willing to say no. This is reminiscent of those parents who refuse to discipline their child. And when the child's 2 or 3, it can be cute. When they're 4 to 12, it can just be obnoxious as hell. But then when they get to be a teenager, they're 14, 15, 16, all of a sudden they're big enough and they're dangerous. And some of those kids can turn around and then just kill their parents. And in a way, that's where Israel is now. Israel is this out of control adolescent that is convinced that it's 100% right and was not going to do anything that the United States requests other than demand, hey, give us more money. give us more weapons, give us more bombs. But you're not going to tell us what to do. We just you give us, you owe it to us.
Did you see that photos of Netanyahu that Iranian, it seems that Iranian intelligence put it out, and they're talking about we could have assassinated him if we wanted to do that. And right now, Larry, do you think Iran and Hezbollah are gonna change their attitude toward Israel? Because so far they didn't do that. They didn't assassinate any of Israeli officials.
What do you mean change their attitude?
Because so far they didn't assassinate them. They didn't go aft in that direction. They were fighting them.
Yeah, people can read it one of two ways. Iran has shown tremendous restraint, despite being routinely proclaimed as a terrorist state, the worst terrorist supporter in the world. It's a lie. It's just not true. But that's the label the West wants to hang on it. Despite having at least, I think the number is four, maybe six nuclear scientists murdered, assassinated in Iran, Iran's always been pretty restrained and hasn't gone off an emotional deep end. This may have pushed them to the point of responding in a very harsh manner. As I've seen a news flash come across. So you got Croatia, Hungary, Latvia, and Ethiopian Airlines all have canceled their flights to Tel Aviv. So clearly something's expected, if not within the next 12 hours, next 24 to 36 hours. We'll see. Or if maybe it's always possible the Iranians will decide to, they're going to be patient. But I think the provocations have been so much. And listening to the Iranian ambassador the other day when he spoke at the United Nations Security Council, it was a real plea to the West, to the UN, saying, hey, you tell us to follow the international rules-based order. Here's this country, Israel, that violates every international rule possible, that engages in unlawful, illegal conduct, and you won't condemn it. If you won't condemn it, then you leave us no choice, but we have to act to defend ourselves. If you won't use your power to defend us, then we must defend ourselves.
It seems that the Biden administration was trying to communicate with the Chinese government in order to put some pressure on Iran not to attack Israel. And Larry, before, if there wasn't a war in Ukraine, they would have talked with Russia to do that. And right now, it seems that the way that they're doing the conflict, they're facing these two front conflicts with Russia and China. The future of Middle East would change drastically. They're gonna have everybody gonna go after nuclear bombs because the only upper hand Israel has right now is nuclear bomb. That's why everybody's hesitant.
No, I agree. That's true. Israel, though, I think is really overplayed its hand. A nuclear deterrent, all it does is it raises the possibility that the United States won't invade you and take over your country. It's really primarily the countries, that want to get it are doing it primarily to protect themselves against the United States, not Israel. Because we've got a habit of invading and taking on other countries that we decide they're not doing our will. But this, we're in a new phase now where it appears that Iran is completely fed up now with turning the other cheek to Israel, and they're going to strike back. And Israel's so arrogant, they don't think that they can be defeated. Even though they've been unable to defeat Hamas, so we're now going on 9 months, 10 months, 10 months. Yeah, August, September, and then we're back to October. It'd be a full year. They haven't defeated, this mighty Israeli army hasn't defeated Hamas, but they're going to go defeat Hezbollah and Iran at the same time? Shut up. It's not going to happen.
Larry, if something big happens in the Middle East, do you think that France and maybe Germany gonna get involved?
Okay, how do they get involved? Are they going to what? Board up a bunch of troops that they don't have to send, hey guys, I'll send you to get in the middle of this fight. They're not going to do that. They don't have any way to really deliver any air power. I don't think the French aircraft carrier is in good working shape. Maybe it is, but you haven't seen them around doing anything of note with it. They can send strongly worded letters condemning one side or the other, but I don't see, NATO, what we're talking about is the ability to project force. It'd be one thing if you say, hey, we can mobilize in the next 48 hours 60,000 troops, and we can deploy those troops within 24 hours after that, where they'll all be on the ground in key sectors of Israel to assist the Israelis in taking out Hezbollah, for example. Yeah, they can't do that. They don't have the ability to do that. That's what's going on.
How did you find the behavior of Saudi Arabia and UAE so far?
They're trying to play both sides of the fence. They may be able to get away with it, but I know that at least in much of the Arab press, they're getting in the Muslim press, they're getting blasted for being, closeted Jews. I mean, they're accusing them of being under the thumb of the Israelis. So we'll see how long that plays.
But are they going to let the United States use their bases in these two countries against Iran?
I very well could, yes. Yeah, I don't doubt that. But the real wild card is Qatar. Because you have the largest U.S. military base in the region right there at Al Udeid Air Force Base. So far, Qatar appears inclined to resist letting U.S. forces continue to use the base for any offensive actions against Iran.
It's so amazing to see Qatar. You see, they're part of this problem, they're part of this what's happening right now, because right after they were this the part of the funeral of Ismail Haniyeh was in Qatar. They were unbelievable what's going on right now.
Yeah, well, they were the big sort of intermediary for the talks that Israel would kill the one guy that it was talking to, who was he was not a wildfire, wild-eyed firebrand espousing, pushing the Jews into the sea. He was somebody who could be talked to, who could reason. And they murdered him.
Can we say that Netanyahu just destroyed any sort of opportunity to have a negotiating settlement in Gaza?
Right. Yeah. He didn't want one. Yeah, I mean that's the thing. People made the mistake. They thought, oh, he wanted to negotiate something. He doesn't have a damn bit of interest in a negotiated settlement. The only negotiation he wants is the Palestinians say, hey, we're leaving, we're never coming back. And where we're going, we don't know, but we're getting out of here. Bibi'd be waving him goodbye. Goodbye, don't come back.
How about China and Russia, Larry, right now? What we are getting from them right now?
They've both been outspoken against the Israeli aggression. In fact, it was, when Iran requested the U emergency meeting of the UN Security Council the other day, China lined up with Russia right away. Russia's chairing the UN Security Council and lined up with Russia right away. So, yeah, we're with you. and supported that hearing. The Israelis, of course, were outraged about it. Oh, this is terrible, you know. And everybody else was blasting him, and understandably so.
Yeah. How did you find this Ben Gvir talking about Turkey? Just they said that if you wanna behave like this, the way that they're behaving right now, it says that you can leave Israel. You can how they can survive without Turkey?
They're not thinking this through. I mean, that's what I said. They're acting emotionally. That's where you got to hope that, particularly when it comes to issues like war, that you get as much of your emotions separated out of it and try to look at it as objectively as possible. Because in the heat of emotion, you can really make a mistake and expose yourself and or. Make a bad decision, they can end up getting you killed or getting your people killed.
And the other thing, Larry, was Lindsey Graham is talking about he has introduced a
Yeah.
resolution to authorize the use of the United States Armed Forces against Iran. And
What
does
are we going
he
to
really
do?
understand what he's talking about?
No. But it's like, come back. What are we going to do? Drop some bombs? How? Okay, we've been dropping bombs on the Houthis now for, let's see, this now going on almost 9 months. How's that worked out? Remember when the Houthis surrendered? Remember when the Houthis said, please stop bombing us? We won't do it anymore? Remember where the Houthis were saying, we'll pay reparations to Washington? Yeah, neither do I. I don't remember any of that because it didn't happen. Instead, the Houthis keep blowing some ships up and keep interfering with traffic going up through the Red Sea towards Israel or coming out of the ports from Israel headed south. Houthis have been doing a real number on them. So, what's the United States? Are we saying we're not using enough air power? Or we're just hoping that those Hezbollah fellas are a lot more cooperative than these damn Houthis, that they will sit outside leisurely, sunning themselves, looking up at the sky in their lounge chairs so that we can fly over and say, oh, there they are, let's kill them. It's juvenile.
Let's assume that Lindsey Graham's dreams comes through and they're gonna send troops to the Middle East. And are they gonna go on the ground or they're thinking of attacking Iran from the air?
That I don't know. I haven't seen the plan. It would, if number one, we don't have enough troops to send to do anything meaningful on the ground, other than evacuate other American citizens, which is reportedly one of the things that's underway right now. Some of these ships that are headed towards Israel's coast, U.S. naval vessels, are there for a non-combatant emergency evacuation. But barring that, the United States doesn't have enough troops to put on the ground and sustain the fight with them. That leaves us with air power. And as we pointed out, we've been bombing the hell out of Yemen, and it hasn't stopped the rockets, hasn't stopped the missile fire. So there's limits to what air power can do. And I know some of my Air Force buddies don't like to hear that, but it's just a fact.
And do you think at the end of the day, is Netanyahu going to learn anything from what's going on right now, from the escalation, from these problems that we are witnessing in that region?
And no, I don't, he's shown inability to learn. When you've convinced yourself you're the smartest guy in the room, that you know better than everybody else, you don't have anything to learn from anybody. There's no humility there.
Many people are asking Larry right now, who's in charge in Washington? Is Joe Biden?
No, you know the answer to that. Come on. Would you let Biden babysit your children? No. Okay. If you won't let him babysit your children, then by God, don't let him run your country. The reason you wouldn't let him babysit your children, apart from the fact that he might molest them, would be the more important thing, that he'd forget he was responsible for taking care of them and would wander off, and they'd be all by themselves. So, there's, it's just, the question is it Jake Sullivan? Is it Blinken? Is it Obama behind the scenes? Who is it? Nobody knows.
For Netanyahu.
Yeah, or Netanyahu. Yeah. Well, it comes to Netanyahu calls a lot of the shots on this, that's for sure. And with the former, former CIA officers that, closely tied to the Israelis. Israel's got a lot of support throughout the intelligence and military community.
Yeah. And we've learned that the United Kingdom is helping the United States right now in the Middle East. What
Yeah.
do they have to offer, in your opinion?
Well, right now there's a flash that British jets are airborne over Jordan. They're flying over Jordan right now. US jets are going up over Iraq. What they're doing is they're preparing to try to intercept any missiles, drones fired by Iran. So that's one thing they're doing. The Brits operate out of an air base in Cyprus. And from that air base, they're able to go out and try to help Israel's air defense system, and can also, bomb and strafe Palestinian positions or Hezbollah positions.
Just to wrap up this session, Larry, in your opinion, if they don't, if the Netanyahu administration decides not to go after Iran, at the end of the day, they're gonna attack Hezbollah or not? Because they were talking about Hezbollah so far many times.
Well, they've been fighting Hezbollah now for the same length of time they've been fighting Hamas since October 7th. It's been a sort of a tit for tat. Israel will bomb into southern Lebanon and kill some Hezbollah fighters and family members. Hezbollah is attacking kibbutzim in the north and military bases and military infrastructure, has killed a few Israelis. So, they're going back and forth. Well, what we're looking at is a possibility that this could really escalate and get beyond just the daily, trading blows.
Is Hezbollah capable of hitting all the air bases in the north, in the center part of Israel, and in the southern part of Israel?
I believe so, but we'll find out.
Yeah,
Up
that
to
would
this
be.
up to this point, they haven't done it. So we'll see if they can do it. They claim that they can.
Yeah.
As you know, talk is cheap. Show us with the action.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Larry.
All right. Well, thank you, my friend. You have a great
Let's see
weekend.
what's gonna happen.
Yeah. It should be terrifying.
Yeah.